Hey friends, welcome back to the show with Dr. Nick and Dr. Tracy. And in this third part, we talk with Dr. Jack Wolfson about sleep, stress, fear, how it's related to heart health.
And those are things that we deal with every single day. No one is exempt from stress, especially in the world today. So this episode is going to be gold for you. You're going to love it.
I guess the other part that we're going to talk about is sleep. And in your book, you talk about good night's sleep being so important. And then you also mentioned melatonin. So talk to me about, you know, good night's sleep. Why was that important for you to include that in your book about sleep and effects on the heart?
Well, you know, it's just kind of like one of these forgotten things by modern medicine. And, you know, that's why, again, I love, you know, for people to be under the care of a holistic practitioner to be able to hear some of these things, because they're not going to hear it from the medical doctor. And then, as you mentioned, you know, previously, the testing that the medical doctor does, I like to call 1970s testing. When my father was, you know, starting off in practice in the 1970s, these are the same tests that they're running, you know, total cholesterol, total LDL, you know, again, just kind of basic markers that, that again, by the time those start to become markedly abnormal, you know, the person's already in trouble. So by doing advanced testing, we find out so much more information. Back to the sleep story again, it's just, I mean, it's, you know, we all love to debate food, but is the food story any more important than the sunshine story? No. Is it more important than environmental toxins and pollutants? No. Is it more important than mental health and wellness? No, the food is not. If anything, it may be less important than all of those. And we again forget to talk about sleep, and sleep maybe it probably is actually the most important factor of all. People that don't get adequate amounts of sleep have a much higher risk of heart attack, stroke, cancer, and what we would say is early mortality or dying young. So in our 21st century, you know, lifestyle, when we're always just go, we're always working, we're always on, we're always, you know, trying to, you know, multitask and get so much stuff done. We don't allow for the relaxation anymore. We don't allow for that downtime, and we don't allow for sleep. Yet for millions of years, like Tom Hanks on the island, he goes to sleep with the sun down and he awakes naturally before the sunrise and he watches the sunrise. There's a good friend of mine. His name is Dr. Jack Cruz. And Jack Cruz is a neurosurgeon, and Jack Cruz has, you know, states, and I believe it to be true, that he has not missed a sunrise in 17 years. So you go to sleep with the sun down, you awake before the sunrise, and if you can watch the sunrise, now again, it may be a cloudy day in Chicago or Indianapolis in the Midwest, but again, that ability to be outside as that sun is coming up over the horizon, even if it's cloud cover, is beneficial. But ultimately, again, our ancestors, they didn't have light bulbs. They didn't have technology. They didn't have anything that would allow them to stay awake late. Now they did have fire and they did have candlelight. And those are all natural forms of light. Once you start getting into artificial stuff, light bulbs and other technologies, now you're into the artificial light. And that's a whole different conversation about how damaging it is to the body. But I would just tell anybody who's listening, whatever time you go to bed, if it's not with the sundown or shortly after the sundown, try and bring it closer to that. So the average person goes to sleep at midnight. And if we can get that person to go to sleep at 11 p.m., they'll be healthier. And if it's 10 p.m., even better. Again, our ancestors all came from the equator, so it was pretty much, you know, 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night. But in that scenario, if we could say, you know, no matter where you live, you know, so summertime, for example, in the northern hemisphere, your days are longer and your nights and therefore sleep are a little bit shorter. But in the wintertime, you know, sun goes down in a lot of different areas, you know, 5:30. Maybe not going to bed at that time is realistic. But again, in the winter time, if you could be sleeping by 8 p.m. and then you will naturally, you know, wake up at 5:30 and now you prep to start the day, that's the best way to approach it.
That's good. You touched on our go-go lifestyle and how important mental health is. That's something that we've seen a lot in the patients that we've been taking care of, especially over the past year, is how much stress in our lifestyles and just the mental taxation that's going on right now is literally affecting people's physical health. Can you speak to that for a minute?
Yeah, sure. It's, you know, once again, I wrote chapter 5 of my book, and chapter 5 is called One Nation Under Prozac, how everybody takes Prozac for all these mental health issues when Prozac obviously is not the answer and certainly has not been proven to help cardiovascular patients. So I want people to understand that, again, as we debate about everyone, you know, debates the best diet, we need to bring in that story about mental health and wellness and finding you're happy. I believe that happy people live longer, and the data and the literature is quite clear to support that belief. So things like stress, anxiety, anger, depression, those all significantly increase your chances of having a heart attack, stroke, and dying young, and atrial fibrillation. I see a lot of people for this irregular heart rhythm, atrial fibrillation. And we need to, again, come up with some of these different strategies about how we're going to lower our stress level. Unfortunately, we are more stressed out now than ever before, especially, again, after 12 months of scare about virus and viruses and everybody living in this state of fear and watching what I would call the, you know, the fear channels and the fear box. And again, watching mainstream media and news that just instills fear, because fear creates us to be addicted to finding out more and sitting in front of the television set. And now, as we are under fear and we suffer from all these cardiovascular, all these different health issues, well, of course, now they're ready to sell us pharmaceuticals. And as most people know, if you watch mainstream TV, it's all pharmaceutical advertising. So it's just the agenda is so in front of us. It's so obvious to see. And our job, of course, is to wake as many people up as possible and get out of that state of fear, unplug from all that technology, and just get back out into the real world, get out into nature, walk, hike, bike, physical activity, get out of the gyms for the most part. Just, I mean, the more time we spend outside, the longer we live. All life on Earth is outside in the sun. All plants, all animals, everything's outside in the sun and hopefully the fresh air. And if you think about what our skin is, like what is our skin? What's the function of our skin? Is it just holding together a bag of bones, or is the skin many different things, including and foremost importance, it's a solar panel. It is a solar panel to collect the energy from the sun and bring that into our bodies to make the innate possible, to make the innate optimally function. And it's all driven from the sun. But again, sunshine helps to improve mental health and wellness. Good food helps to improve mental health and wellness. Good sleep helps to improve mental health and wellness. Staying away from chemicals, on and on. Chiropractic care improves the mental wellness. And then ultimately, again, I tell people, you know, if I was able to leave a very lucrative and professionally respected position as a cardiologist in the biggest group in Arizona. In 2011, I was voted by my peers as one of the Phoenix, Arizona's top docs. So if I was able to leave all of that and all of the money and all the security, I firmly believe people can leave their job where they're unhappy and find something that makes them happy, because their life depends on it. If you're in relationships that don't support your mental health and wellness, then you should strongly consider getting out of those relationships. Life can be said as cliche, life is short, but if you want it to be longer, you better find your happiness. Mm-hmm.
Doc, that right there was so spot on and so important. We've had so many patients struggling with mental health issues right now, just sad, depressed, not being able to see loved ones. They've restricted their breathing for over a year now. They've and now what I'm seeing, I just saw it yesterday, with patients, specifically one, she's like, my job is trying to force me to get the shot. And she's like, I don't want to get the shot with the experimental nature of this, and just on and on and on. She's like, it's literally over my dead body is the, is what she said, you know. And I love what you said about your, I'd say courage, your courage gives other people courage to do the same. You left a lucrative job, you know, that you were highly esteemed by your peers, you know. How do you deal with this just from your own personal experience with these people who are like, I'm being forced to do things that I don't want to do? You know, my perspective is, hey, get up and walk out. If this is going to be life and death, if this is going to be your job, you know, our way or the highway, then walk out. You know, what would you say to that person? How do you give that person the courage to kind of do what you've done and kind of put your life at risk when it comes to your job and your future? You know, what's your perspective on that?
Well, first of all, I would say it's not necessarily easy, you know, to get up and walk away from your job, especially when you got bills to pay and whatnot. It's not easy necessarily to, to get out of relationships like I'm talking about. It's not that easy to extract yourself from it. I just want to open up people's minds to the possibility and the fact that when they are unhappy and all those, you know, again, you know, poor mental health and again, anxiety, stress, anger, depression, all that stuff increases your risk of significant health issues. And then think about that situation you're in, whether it's your job or it's this relationship. And now you add in the component that you're now sick. And now you're really going to be in just this downward spiral. But, when it comes to what we said about, and let me say this, I learned a lot of this kind of thick skin approach really in two phases. Number one was as I started transitioning into a holistic practitioner, I faced a lot of scrutiny from my peers. And then number two, as I got into this space of vaccines and entered the vaccine conversation, and I was on CNN, and millions of people saw my interview on CNN from 2015, and facing a lot of scrutiny from that. I think the reality is that we are at a massive and critical turning point in the year 2020 and 2021, where there is this struggle between who owns us, who owns our bodies. And is it the government that owns our bodies, as many, many, many people believe, or is it us as personal, and as free peoples that we make the decisions when it comes to our bodies? And that's what I firmly believe, is that we deserve to govern what goes in our bodies, what comes out of our bodies, and again, the preservation of that freedom of choice, I think, is absolutely positively paramount. The vaccine story is, again, all about freedom of choice. And ultimately, guys, you know this as well as I do, there is no long-term safety data. The short-term data could certainly be compromised. And I've got horror stories of people who got vaccinated, massive strokes. I don't want to get into that. But what I do want to say is that the reality is there is zero long-term data, more than just a few months, on the safety of the COVID shots. Mm-hmm. So as long as we all understand that if you are going to get injected with this pharmaceutical, you need to understand that everybody, whether it's Tony Fauci or any of these kind of grand medical poobahs that are owned by the pharmaceutical industry, that everybody would be in a room and would agree that there's no long-term data. So if you want to refuse something based on the fact that I've got no idea how this will affect me in the long term, then that is a valid argument.
So good.
Well, Dr. Wolfson, we appreciate your time and we thank you for lending us your courage and boldness and inspiring our listeners to do the same. How can people best connect with you? How can they find out more about you?
Well, I would send in, if people want to learn more about me, obviously I'm all over the internet and I've got, websites and all these different areas. I would probably say the easiest place is just grab a copy of my book for free. You can get it at freeheartbook.com. Again, that's freeheartbook.com. Come on in, get a free copy of my Amazon best-selling book. And again, 17 chapters all about heart health and wellness. And of course, you get to read chapter 14 called The Wonders of Chiropractic.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thanks, Doc.
Thank you, guys.